for you. I'm empty hanging and I'm feeling blue. And I'm gonna dream till the day that I die. Shut Bob down.
Hello everybody and welcome to a new year and a new episode. We welcome you to Three Drinks In, a podcast where nothing happens until that third drink is in our rearview mirror. Because we all know the third drink in is that magical point where wisdom and truth intersect. Thanks for tuning in to this, our 52nd episode. Let me just tell you that each episode features a conversation with me, Billy Bob Jumpback Jr., my neighbor Jerry, and every so often the occasional guest. Together, we will explore some arcane avenue of musical minutia, but not before we sample a couple of adult beverages and unwind our collective brain trust. This episode is being dropped in March of 2024, but the boys were recording it in January, right between two major snowfalls, so forgive us if we seem cold and grumpy. We thought that, although we've covered songs that may have been about traveling, we didn't get specific enough, so today we are chatting up the songs we love that are predominantly about a car or a truck of some sort. There's a veritable parking lot just full of songs about cars, and we hope we hit one or two that you like and maybe surprise you with one or two that you haven't heard yet. At any rate, make sure that you look for the link to our playlist wherever you find our podcast. We usually have it in the extra info button somewhere on the page where the play button is. Just play Detective, you won't regret it. But for now, hop in. Let's take a ride on episode number 52, which we called Crazy About a Mercury. Here we go. Well, hello everybody. Welcome to the Iowa Tap Room. This is Billy Bob Jumpback Jr. and I'm going to be doing another podcast today with my good friend, Neighbor Jerry. Say hello, Neighbor Jerry.
Hello, Neighbor Jerry.
Neighbor Jerry's on the record. And today, Neighbor Jerry and I are doing an episode. What number are we on now?
Number 52.
52. We're just cruising. We made it to 50, and it's all downhill to 100, and then I think we're going to call her a day.
Probably so.
We'll see. This is episode 52, and we're going to call this one Crazy About a Mercury, because the topic today, Neighbor Jerry?
Cars and trucks.
Cars and trucks. Yeah. Songs that kind of basically center around the car and the truck, some mode of transportation anyway, but we're talking mostly about cars because there's a million songs out there about cars, you know.
Well, when you told me the topic, it immediately took me back to when I was a kid in the early mid 60s.
Yeah.
And there were so many cars.
Driving a car, right?
Well, I wasn't driving yet.
Not even. Okay.
Oh, yeah. But so many songs in the early and mid 60s.
You were like 90, but you're not.
No, I'm not that old.
You're only.
I didn't start driving until about what would have been
72 for me, probably.
70, 69, 70.
Yeah. What was the first car you drove?
My own.
Yeah, I mean that you said that's my car.
Oh,
because I mean it was mom and dad owned the car for me, but
yeah, the first car that was mine that I drove.
Yeah.
That my folks helped me buy.
Yeah.
69 Ford LTD.
Yeah.
It was a boat.
Sweet.
big old boat.
Man. It
comfortably held 7 to 8 people.
Yeah. Now, did you guys have a family car that the kids all shared?
Oh, my folks. Well, our family car was a station wagon, but there was an old Buick.
Because you had seven? Nine?
Nine
kids.
Yeah.
Right.
There was a Buick that one of my sisters drove for a while that some of us got to drive, but the one I remember was a Ford Fairlane, yeah. A white Ford Fairlane.
Was that a hand-me-down from your folks?
No, it was just one of the kids' cars that was handed down for the kids as they became age to drive, you know.
Yeah, I get that. So I can remember my very first one was a 62 Chevy Impala. Had probably a 285 under the hood, you know, and it was bench seats in front, bench seats in back, four-door. It was a kind of a really pale yellow car, and I called it Old Yeller. And I never paid a dime for it. You know, that was mom and dad's car until they got a new one. And my sister was off in college, so that would have been 72 that I started driving that. And that's about when I got my license, I would guess. But, yeah, just that whole idea. And then of course, you have to you have to do all the accessorizing for that. You got to have, well, the first accessorizing I had was an 8-track.
Right? Yep, yep. So. And speaking of 8-tracks, I'll jump in here. I did a little research about radios.
Oh, the car radio itself.
When it was introduced to the cars, and because the music that was playing in a car, at least for me, was always so important.
Oh, yeah.
So
no point cruising around town in your car or wherever you're going on the country roads or whatever if you don't have some good music going.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. Otherwise, you're wasting gas.
You're wasting gas.
So 1930 was the first AM radio,
and it was
a Motorola. And then FM radio came into being in 1952.
Wow.
8-tracks, 1965.
Okay.
Stereo radios, actually stereo systems, 1969. Cassettes became a thing starting in 1970. CDs, 1985. And I didn't have a year for when streaming started to happen.
Oh, man. Or, yeah, Sirius XM.
Yeah.
XM radio. Yeah, it had to be, gosh, around 2000, wouldn't you think?
Probably so.
Yeah, something like that. So do we have to explain, I probably not to our audience, but what an 8-track was?
Well, you know.
It's kind of an interesting concept.
It was
concept.
A tape player, if you will, and mine was mounted on the hump of the muffler, the console.
Oh, my gosh, where the axle was, right?
Well, yeah, you know, where you had that hump in the middle of the front seat.
Yeah.
That's where my 8-track went.
And an 8-track came as a cartridge. I don't even know what to compare it to. There's no visual thing that I can think of.
Kind of like a tape you'd put into the tape player.
Yeah, it's like a cassette.
But it was smaller than that, but bigger than a cassette.
Yeah, it was probably a 4x5 or 6 type of cartridge, and it had a tape that would loop.
Yep.
And that was the whole idea of an 8-track. I mean, they created these 8-track tapes so you could listen to the whole album without having to change anything. You know, it just kept
going down the road. Yeah.
Going and, oh my gosh, I kind of miss those. I'd like to have one of those in my garage or something. Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah. I went through a lot of 8-tracks in my day.
Yeah. We all did. And then, of course, you throw them away and then you're like, dang, I should have held on to those. Like baseball cards, you know. So we talk about music, we talk about car songs and things like that. Why are car songs so popular? I mean, not even popular, but why are there so many car songs written? What is the metaphor there, do you think?
I'm not sure about the metaphor, but I just think, thinking back to the 60s, and it was, in my head, it was kind of a California scene because it was the Beach Boys and different groups.
A lot of songs
that were singing about muscle cars and racetracks.
Yeah. The 60s were all about car songs.
And that was all about it. And so that was really my introduction to it. And I don't know how you escape it once that's what you know.
It seems to me like car songs, at least the modern version of it, and I think the older version too, I think car songs kind of are a metaphor for escape, for freedom. You know, you got a car, and you can get in that car, you can go any place you want to. You know, my love for Springsteen, that's his whole connection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's got so many car songs out there. But that's that whole idea, is that, you know, if I can get in a car and I can, boom, hit the road, I can be away from all this stuff that's holding me down here, right?
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. And escape's a great word for it because I can remember different times in my life where I got in my car and went for a drive just to clear my head to get my shit together.
Yeah, you might come back home and everything like that.
Oh, yeah.
But it was an escape to get away from a point that you need to get away from.
Exactly. Very much so.
I also think, in a deeper level, there's some of these songs, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit more later, that the innuendo is very sexual.
Oh, yeah.
Because of the ability to escape for a few minutes from the ordinary life that you're in with my gal or my guy or whatever, you know, and I can get away from them. And then what's going to happen to that car when you're...
Yeah, there's not too big of a leap for some of the sexual innuendos in the cars, but... But the other thing I wanted to say, too, is think about road trips.
Yeah.
You know, when you think about a road trip, it's the music. And we had a whole episode about road trip songs.
Travel music, yeah.
So music and driving a car go hand in hand together.
Absolutely.
I mean, what a great way to travel.
Because we always talked about music as being an escape tool, right?
Sure.
And then the car is the vehicle that gets you out too. But boy, put them together, that's something crazy, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
And I'm afraid to say this almost because as I look at my list, there's only a couple of songs on here that are car songs that I'll talk about that are written by a woman. And I'm wondering about that. And I'm wondering, does it mean something different for guys than it does for girls? Do you think?
I think there are more females into cars now today than there were 50 years ago.
Yeah.
And so I was very much aware on my list as I put it together, I only have a couple females.
Mm-hmm.
But there weren't a lot of females out there singing about their cars either.
And
so.
I wondered about that. And if we talk about it in those terms, you know, we'll talk about a specific song. I think we're both going to hit it about that whole escape idea. And that's what the car is for. Well, I mean, girls want to escape as much as guys do.
Well, go ahead. So I just saw a story on the news a week ago where California has done away with their ban on, I don't even know what the classification was, but it was all those cars that would be able to bounce up and down as they went down the street.
The lowriders?
Yeah. Yeah, lowriders and everything that brings
there to... There was a ban on them.
There was a ban on them, and it was just recently lifted after 10 years.
Oh.
And the story I saw had people talking about how they're so excited to be able to have their identity back.
Yeah.
And there were several different groups that were females who were into it.
Oh, no kidding.
Sandy, it's a great way for them to express themselves as well.
Very cool. Well, I like to hear that. That's good news, then. I kept talking about, I don't see a lot of women songs out there, and it's because it just doesn't cross my radar. I'm sure there are some out there. I hope people will tell us about those songs, too. But I also mentioned Bruce Springsteen. Because he'll come up in this conversation.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
On
this list, I've got 21 songs. I've got four of them that are Bruce songs.
Well, I got one. So.
And it's like there could have been at least
several
five or
more.
Six more.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that type of thing. But it's a good topic, and it's there's just a ton of songs written about cars. And I think we're going to have a really, really good playlist. It'll be a fun playlist.
Oh, it will be.
There's several songs that I didn't put on what we're going to talk about today that will be on the playlist. And I will just mention, I mean, like, I can remember Teen Angel,
mm-hmm.
Last Kiss, you know, those songs. There were songs I was thinking about earlier, but I'm like, I got better songs to put on there. Those are sad songs about dying in a car, you know? It's like, holy cow. Anyway, we're going to go ahead and get into this topic, but I just want to throw this reminder out for those of you that want to listen to the playlist. Whenever we post on Facebook, there is there's usually a link in the Facebook post for you to click on to go listen to our playlist. And I hope you do that. And I hope if you do that, even if you're just listening to the songs, you'll click on that follow, because we got a playlist for every episode.
And so, playlist for every episode, and then you've got some writings out there that people could read.
Well, yeah, there's that too. That's out there. That's not on Spotify. That's a different place, but
okay.
We'll get into that later. But I think it's time to go ahead and start talking about it. What do you got for your, we're going to do this. I think we're going to do six songs and then one we'll listen to.
Yep.
All right. So what do you want to start with?
Well, you know me and how I like to do things chronologically.
Yes, you do.
Well, so that held true again today. So I'm going to start off with some songs from the 60s.
Very cool.
And the first one I'm going to throw out there is 409 by the Beach Boys.
Good job.
Brian Wilson, Mike Love, and Gary Usher wrote that. And that song was on their Surfing Safari LP from 1962.
Very cool.
Follow that up with a Jan and Dean song from 1963 off their Drag City LP, and it was Little Deuce Coop.
Oh, I thought it was going to be Dead Man's Curve, but Little Deuce Coop's awesome.
Following that one with GTO. By Ronnie and the Daytonas from 1964.
Man, you are getting some really cool songs.
That was off their GTLP, and it was written by John Buck Wilkin, and I think it hit number 4 in the top 100.
Oh, yeah, that's a little GTO.
Followed that with Hey Little Cobra, The Ripcords.
The Ripcords, oh gosh, yeah.
From 1964.
This will be a fun playlist.
That song also hit number 4 on the top 100 back in that day.
Yeah, yeah.
Next, I have another Jan and Dean song from 64 off of the Den Man Curves LP.
Okay.
And it is My Mighty GTO.
Oh, I haven't heard that song before.
And then I got one more here. It's by Wilson Pickett, Mustang Sally.
Mustang Sally. I got that on my list.
It's written by Mark Rice in 1965 and then was released by Wilson Pickett in 1966 off the Wicked Pickett album.
The Wicked Pickett album.
And then my number, well, one of my top three songs.
So that number one song in the first
insert
set.
Into here will be a song by the Beatles.
Okay.
Drive My Car. Soul album written by Paul McCartney, 1965. It's one of my favorite Beatles
Baby,
songs.
You Can Drive My Car.
Yes. So that's my first set. What do you
Very
got?
Good. Well, excellent set, by the way.
Thank you.
I'm starting in 1958 with a song that was the title song for a movie and the only song ever recorded that I know of. He had a single, so it had two songs on it. Robert Mitchum in 1958, The Ballad of Thunder Road from the movie Thunder Road, which was all about a moonshiner, and he dies in the end. And I'm not going to spoil the movie for you, but I might have. Next one is a song I'm not terribly familiar with, but I listened to it a couple times, and it's kind of a cool song. Jaguar by The Who, 1967, from The Who Sells Out. And I just wanted to put something on there that was British. And British like their songs, too.
Oh, well, they like their cars, too,
they
don't
do. They like their cars. That's what I meant to say, yeah. The next one I'm going to talk about, I think, is going to come up again, so I won't talk about it too much. Mercury Blues by, and I'm specifically talking about the David Lindley version in 1981 from El Rey OX, because I just love David Lindley. He's been on so many, many albums, and to have him, to listen to him sing this song is a pleasure, so... I believe that's coming up again, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
All right. I'm going to Kevin Gordon in 2000, Down to the Well. He had a song called Deuce and a Quarter. And Deuce and a Quarter was a big hit for him in terms of the fact that Keith Richards heard it and decided he was going to give that to Scotty Moore. And Keith Richards and Scotty Moore played Kevin Gordon's song on a Keith Richards album together. So that's kind of pretty cool right there.
You got to check that one out.
Yeah, very cool. 1956, a single, and it was probably on a compilation album later by Chuck Berry, You Can't Catch Me. And You Can't Catch Me is all about, oh, I got this beautiful little car, and every time you try to catch me, you ain't going to do it. But in the end, that beautiful little car kind of transforms into a beautiful little gal, you know, that he's trying to get away from type thing. So You Can't Catch Me. And then... the last one before I hit my number one for this section is a song from Modern Lovers. And Modern Lovers, I didn't realize this, but one of the original guys from Talking Heads, his name escapes me right now, was the guy that had been in Modern Lovers. This is from 76. It's a self-titled song from the album. The album was Roadrunner, and the song is Roadrunner. It's a really, really cool song. A lot of fun. Got a lot of good British innuendo in there. And my number one song that you'll listen to is my first song by Bruce Springsteen that I'm going to talk about. It's off the 1982 Nebraska album, and that's called Open All Night. And it's just all about cruising through the nighttime of New Jersey, East Coast, and in the end, it's about a girl, but not always.
Well, I had the carburetor baby clean and check, with her line blown out, she's humming like a turbo jet. Propped her up in the backyard on the concrete blocks for a new clutch, played a new set of shots, took her down to the car wash, checked the plugs and points. Well, I'm going out tonight, I'm gonna rock it, join Hurley, North Jersey, in the street of Skyline. I'm a hustle, cobra jet creeping through the night time. Gotta find a gas station, gotta find a payphone to turn back. Sure it's spooky at night when you're all alone. Kinda hit the gas, baby, I'm running late. This New Jersey in the morning like a lunar landscape.
About this song, and I forgot to mention this when I was talking about You Can't Catch Me by Chuck Berry. Springsteen references a song, or references a line from You Can't Catch Me, as did John Lennon in Instant Karma. And Lennon was legally pushed to the point that he had to give Chuck Berry's songwriter credit. And I believe Springsteen did the same thing too.
Cool.
But anyway, Open All Night. Fun song.
So does that kick it back to me for my next set?
It is right over to you, sir.
Okay, well, you're going to recognize a number of these songs off of this group.
Oh.
Not that you didn't on the first group, but I'm going to lead off with a song by the Grateful Dead off their American Beauty album from 1970, and it's called Truckin'.
I didn't even think of that one. That's Truckin'. Really cool.
And it was written by Jerry Garcia, Phil Lesh, Bob Weir, and Robert Hunter.
Robert Hunter.
And that's my only song that I have about a truck, because we talked about cars and trucks.
Yeah.
Truckin's my only truck song.
Yeah, and it's really, it's more about, it's trucking was a term in the 60s about just getting out of the place.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
But it's still pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's
trucking kinda, on down the
kinda,
road.
It kind of covers a tour they did. I think so.
Sure.
Interesting song.
Next, I have Janis Joplin's 1971 song, Mercedes-Benz, off her Pearl LP. And that was written by Janis Joplin and Michael McClure and Bob Neuwirth.
Interesting point on that song. I believe that was her highest ranking song she ever recorded.
I think it was.
And it was posthumous.
Yes, yes.
And it was after she died that it became so popular.
So then I'm going to follow that one up with a song from Commander Cody and the Lost Planet Airmen.
Yep, I got them.
Is that on your list?
It is on my list, but go ahead.
Hot Rod Lincoln from 1971.
Yep.
It was off their Lost in the Ozone LP.
Yes.
Written by Charlie Ryan in 1955.
Yeah, I was going to say it was not the original recording, was it?
No, no.
But it's the one I referenced too.
Yeah, that's the one I'm familiar with.
And if you ever get a chance to listen to the original one, it's pretty cool, too.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
Yeah, it's got more of a, not quite a big band, but it's got an interesting
flavor. Well, 55 would have a different
It's just got a different tonality.
Era to it. Yeah. I'm going to follow that up with an Eagles song, Old 55.
Oh, good one.
But it was written by Tom Waits, which I did not realize.
Oh, it was I've seen that on one of Tom Waits' albums, and I didn't realize. I thought it was an Eagles song that he did.
He wrote it in 1973, and then the Eagles released it on their 1974 album, On the Border.
Yeah.
And Tom Waits didn't like their rendition.
That wouldn't surprise me.
No. Next one I have is Slow Ride by Foghat. 1975.
Excellent.
Off their Fool for the City LP.
There you go. Very good.
And then I got one more before my number one of this group.
Okay.
It's a song by War from 1975, Lowrider.
Oh, man, I left that off my list. I didn't even think about it.
And that's off their Why Can't We Be Friends LP.
That holds. I got to listen to that LP because those two songs, Why Can't We Be Friends and Lowrider, are two of my favorite songs.
You know, those guys were so cool.
They were so cool.
They had their shit together.
They carved out a niche for them that other people started to follow.
Yes.
But they were the first to do it. So, man, that was really cool. So then that brings you to your number one for this set, right?
Yep. And you mentioned it early. It's the Mercury Blues. Blues was written by Casey Douglas and Robert Geddens, and I don't have the year that they wrote that song.
I think I've got it written down as 1949, actually.
I knew
and
it was,
wasn't. That was not the original title for it either.
No, and it's been done not only by David Lindley, who it was my favorite of the three, but Steve Miller Band did a rendition of it in 1977, and then Alan Jackson did in 1993, which a lot of people, depending on if you're into country, might have said that's where they heard it for the first time.
Well, I saw that Steve Miller version, and I thought, oh, well, he probably wrote it, and then I started doing the research and go, oh, no, it wasn't. It was all the way back. It was either 49 or 59. I wrote down 49. Yeah.
But David Lindley, what a talent.
One of the more talented people that ever appeared on albums, because he was been on. I left the house today to go do some things, and I said, hey, play David Lindley, because I just thought of that song. It was playing 2 hours later, you know, because all the different things that he'd been on.
He played on so many different groups or albums for other people, and he had several of his own.
Yeah.
And I love him.
So. El Rayo X is a great album.
Oh, excellent. So that's my second set, so we'll kick it back to you, Billy Bob.
Okay, my second set then, I got a couple of Bruce Springsteen songs I'll just talk about quickly. It almost was one of my top three, but it got kicked off from who knows why. Racing in the Streets by Bruce Springsteen off the Darkness and on the Edge of Town album, 1973. Just a classic car song. It's about him literally putting together a car, racing it all the time with his best friend. They go out and do this. The subtext of the story is that, well, his girlfriend or his wife is sitting at home waiting for him to find out if he came home alive or not, you know, all the time. And eventually he realizes, I can't keep doing this, and so it's time for us to, let's go do something else. And so they break away from that. But it's a car song. Beautiful car song. Another one, and I almost didn't give him the credit for doing it because Mel McDaniel, who's a country artist, had done a version of this. Let's let his version. It's a pretty good version, country version, but the song's called Stand On It, and it's off, it was the B-side to Glory Days as a single for Springsteen. It's come out on some compilation albums for him since then, but it came out in 85. It was Bruce Springsteen, and it's just about a race car driver, you know, so going around a track, just stand on it, man.
Yep.
And it's a lot of fun.
Pedal to the metal.
Pedal to the metal. Long White Cadillac Dwight Yoakam, 1989.
Oh, I remember that song. That's
looking
good
for
song.
A hit. Yeah, it is a law. It is a fun little song. And I like me some Dwight Yoakam now and then. So the next song I'm talking about was Hot Rod Lincoln, which you kind of covered already. Commander Cody is the version I like. And again, it'd been done earlier, much earlier. I thought the next song I'm talking about, I thought was going to be one of my top next two songs I talked about. I thought were going to be one of my Let's Play It songs. The first one is Neil Young and Stephen Stills doing Long May You Run off 1976.
Oh, beautiful song.
Stills and Young Band. I always thought that was just Neil Young's song because it pops up on his Decade album. But it was Stephen Stills and Neil Young did one album together, and it was called the Young Stills Band. Stills Young Band, I guess it was. And this was on there, and they did it together. And I never realized that until I started doing the research today. So, beautiful song. It's about his car, which he called Mort, but it wasn't just a car. It was an old hearse, and he made it all the way to a certain point in Canada before it blew up, and then blah, you know, the whole story. He went on to California and became very famous. He had another hearse that ended up with the Beach Boys. So anyway,
Long May You Run.
Long May You Run was all
I
about
remember
that
song.
You know, and it could be used for so many different things because it's a really cool song, but he's talking to a car. And then the last one before I hit my we're going to play song was Fast Car by Tracy Chapman off the self-titled Tracy Chapman album in 1988, which I can't remember. Is it Luke Combs has a version of that out now, I think?
Yes, I believe so.
And it's a really nice version. He's very true to the original version of it, and it is wonderful that Tracy Chapman's getting the recognition for that again.
Well, and that song's on my list in my next set. And she won Best Female Pop Grammy for that song.
For the album or the song, do you think? Probably the song.
For the song, I believe.
Yeah. She might have won the album, too, for all I know. But that was a great, great album. But it talks about what we were talking about earlier. It was the thing that would help her escape a situation that wasn't great.
Yep.
Come on, with me. You got a fast car.
Get in the car.
I got a lousy life. Let's get in it and go. And
we're going.
If I remember right, it didn't work out all that great.
Yeah.
But it was a great song. And then the one that we'll be listening to, it's my second Kevin Gordon song, off Cadillac Jack's Number One Son, 1998. This one's called Company Car.
Slow from bar to bar in my friend's new company car, through the back streets where the land meets the river. Gotta keep it out of sight, talk and smile in this town is tight, and the boss knows where you are, where you park your company car. Shining in the sun, she's a Detroit diamond, automatic power line. Rumbling horses under the hood, his uncle's name on the side. It tells you you go far behind the wheel of a company car. Passing houses so serene, tall trees and front porch swings, we swore this place was a disgrace years younger. Calling out somebody's name away from a window frame makes him feel like a neighborhood star. Windows down in a
about a guy who's got a job, he gets a company car, and he's driving around in it. But he's driving around in it, and they're drinking beers in it and stuff like that. So it's a real fun song about how, you know, you gotta keep the beers low because there's a cop over at that light, you know, that type of thing.
Well, and You mentioned the album, Cadillac Jack.
Yeah.
That song, too, could be on our playlist.
It'll be on the playlist.
Yes.
We'll put it on the playlist. So anyway, that gets me through that set. We're ready to bring it home.
All right. So my last set of six plus one.
Yeah.
And you've already talked about Tracy Chapman, so it's five plus one. Black Limousine by the Rolling Stones from their 1981 Tattoo You, song written by Mick Jagger, Keith Richards, and Ronnie Wood.
I don't know that song.
Yeah. Check it out. It'll be on the playlist.
It'll be on the playlist.
And then a song that was almost in my final three, but it got bumped by David Lindley.
Okay, good.
Bob Seger's song from 1982 off the Distance album. It was Making Thunderbirds.
Oh, wow.
And I was not familiar with that song until I came across it, and I listened to it, and I fell in love with it, because guess what?
It's got horns. It's got horns in it.
So then my next one I have is a Prince song, Little Red Corvette, from 1983.
Yep, that's on my next list.
And it's off his 1999 album, and it was number six on the top 100, and it was Prince's first top 100 hit.
Yeah, so we need to explain that 1999 was the name of the album.
Yes.
The song, or the album, came out in 1982.
Yes, yes.
And so when 1999 came around, and we had all that worry about computers making that transition on New Year's Eve, we were all listening to Prince, and we were listening to that. Yeah. We're like, well, we may not have a society tomorrow, but we'll just see what happens.
Yeah, and my notes show that album came out in 83.
83, okay.
Yep. Next one I have, you'll probably talk about this eventually, but maybe not, but it's a Bruce Springsteen, Pink Cadillac.
Yep, that's coming up.
From 1984's Dancing in the Dark LP. Great song.
It's the B-side of the single, Dancing in the Dark. Never came out on an album. Dancing in the Dark was a single in 1982. This was the B-side of that. It was never on any of his albums until he got the compilation album.
82 or 84?
84.
Okay. All right.
I'm sorry.
And then the last one I have before my number one is my other female artist, Lucinda Williams, off her 1998 LP, Car Wheels on a Gravel Road.
I didn't think about it. God, good choice. Really good choice.
You know, I couldn't leave that off.
Really good choice. Now, well, what's your number one?
My last one is a John Fogerty song from 1997 off his Blue Moon LP.
No kidding.
Hot Rod Heart.
Oh, that's a good song.
Oh, a great song.
Good song, Neighbor Jerry. I've got four left plus my one. What's the Mark Cohn song about Thunderbird?
Oh, Silver Thunderbird.
Silver Thunderbird. Yeah. I thought that was going to pop up here. It'll be on the playlist.
It will be on our playlist because that's one of my favorite songs by him. And I can't believe I didn't catch that on my list.
I'm thinking about that the whole time. I think there's a couple of Mark Cohn songs right here. But nope. All right. That's good. Well, okay. Let me finish up here then. I got 1, 2, 3, 4 plus one. So, first one I'll talk about was George Thorogood, 1985, off the album called Maverick. and it's Gear Jammer, and it's all about truck driving, big truck driving. And I left off my Dave Dudley 6 Days on the Road song, and it left it off this list because it'll show up on the playlist. But Gear Jammer is a nod to truck drivers in general and other things. This last set I'm talking about is a set I think has a lot of sexual innuendo in the titles.
Oh, tell me more.
Gear Jammer could be about something besides shifting gears. And I'm not sure where to go with it.
Don't go there.
The next song I'll talk about was from 1979 off the London Calling album, The Clash, Brand New Cadillac. And it's all about my baby's got a brand new Cadillac, and I'm not sure what he's referencing there, but it could be something more than a brand new Cadillac. A little bit step away from that, a little bit more purified, but 1964 from Shut Down Volume 2, the Beach Boys' Fun, Fun, Fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to have fun, fun, fun until your daddy takes the T-Bird away.
Yep.
But what exactly is that T-Bird? We have to ask ourselves, what's daddy going to take away from us here?
Thunderbird.
Anyway, it could be. We already talked about it, but Mustang Sally is about a Mustang, but it ain't about a Mustang. It's about Sally.
Sally is a Mustang.
And Sally gonna ride Sally Ride.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. And then Little Red Corvette, you talked about that. And then Pink Cadillac, we talked about that. So Little Red Corvette, it's about a car. And it's about a relationship, and it's about something to do with Trojans, horses or something. Like, I can't remember what that was. Anyway, Pink Cadillac. I got to sit here and ask myself, is he really talking about a car, or is he talking about that wonderful, beautiful, luxurious pink Escape that he has always wanted to make? And I think Bruce is a clever writer, and I think he's written more than one dirty song. And I think this is one of them.
Can't argue with that.
And I think Pink Cadillac, Crushed Velvet Seats is about something else. So anyway, the one I'm going to end up with is one that I just got turned on to by doing research for this topic. Southern Culture on the Skids is the name of the band.
Never heard of them.
They're a fun band. It's a lot. That band is a lot like the B-52s to me.
Okay.
In that they write these irreverent songs but they have such a snappy kind of melody to them and everything like that. They're real interesting. So it's the group is Southern Culture on the Skids. It's from 1991. The album's name gets me going in the wrong direction. Too Much Pork for Just One Fork.
Okay. And the name of the song?
Is Voodoo Cadillac.
Chopping on wood, I got 8 slapping pistons right here under my hood. That's right. I met my baby in a used car lot. A drinking cheap wine and a throwing rocks. Magic on. Chopping on wood, I got 8 slapping pistons right here under my hood. Let's ride.
Oh, I got to check these guys out.
But I mean, too much pork for just one pork.
That's a great album.
One of the classic album titles of all time. It's like,
well, it brings so many visuals.
Well, I mean, then you start talking about how they construct words and things like that. Pork and fork. I don't know if that's what they really mean when they're talking about that kind of. Anyway, so I repeat myself. There's some sexual innuendo in here.
Of course.
But one of the things we want you guys to do is listen to the playlist. It's going to be a fun playlist. We're pretty close to the end here, and we want you guys to be able to enjoy a beverage and listen to some good songs. And we hope that you enjoyed listening to us. Got anything to add there, Jerry? I mean,
well, it's episode number 52. Let's clink glasses to that.
Yeah. We should probably do that until we hit 100.
We'll try.
We're going to keep working on it. I guess this is Billy Bob Jumpback Jr. saying so long. Why don't you say so long, Neighbor Jerry?
So long, Neighbor Jerry.
We'll catch you next time. Thanks for listening.
For you, I'm empty-handed and I'm filled with what I'm gonna drink till the day that I die. Shut the
hello there.
Down.
If it feels like you have suddenly awakened from an involuntary liver transplant, relax. It's just us, and you're coming out of that fog that is our wonderful podcast. There's no cure for this feeling, so just learn to live with that perfectly legal euphoria that our show provides. Just the same, we're mighty excited to see you're still with us, and we thank you for being one of our loyal listeners. You have been listening to episode number 52 of Three Drinks In, a musical podcast about whatever sneaks past our spiritual gatekeepers once we've entertained our third adult beverage. This episode is recorded on January 10th, 2024, at our favorite downtown beer house, the Iowa Tap Room. For some unexplained reason, the folks at the Iowa Tap Room love us, and we love them for taking such good care of us. We always need to thank Tim and his great staff for showering upon us their knowledge of good beer and their careful consideration of our various needs. They are truly good people. Well, folks, just be careful when sharing your pearls of wisdom out there. I told my wife that a husband is like a fine wine. He gets better with age. The next day, she locked me in the cellar. Hey, keep your wits about you, and remember, we're pulling for you. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time on Three Drinks In. Our intro and outro music is a wonderful tune called Drink Beer Till the Day That I Die by Daisy May, a terrific group from France. Their song was found at the Free Music Archive. That's freemusicarchive.org. And the band Daisy May can be found on the web at daisymay.com. That's daisymae.com. We thank them for making their music available.
In my loaded dreams, I'm crying out for your help. Till the day that I die.